Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The true God is not a lofty deity in the sky, highfalutin kind of God. After God gave Moses the commands of his law at Mount Sinai, God invited Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of the people up on the mountain, and they saw the God of Israel. The book of Exodus doesn't describe God's appearance, but simply says that the pavement under his feet was like sapphire, clear as the sky. Sure, all that is fanciful stuff. He didn't summon them up on the mountain, though, to capture an image of what he looks like a vain Instagram model. God called them up for a meal. God himself isn't described, but what Moses records is that they ate and drank in the presence of God. There's not many details beyond that, just that God called these men unto himself up on the mountain where they ate and drank in his very presence. That's a pretty big deal. God invited mortals into his presence to come and eat and drink. He invited them into his presence for a meal, for fellowship around a table. Meals thereafter took on a significance in the Old Testament, even before, as God had commanded his people to eat the Passover meal, about which he was kind of particular how they carried it out. The meat, a lamb, a year old, without blemish, not boiled, but roasted over the fire, with none of it left until the morning. And the blood of the lamb to mark the doorposts and the lintels so that the angel of death would see the houses marked by blood and pass over while they were partaking of this first Passover meal. But the Lord commands it as a memorial perpetually, a reminder that he brought his people out of slavery in Egypt by means of a meal. God also instituted certain sacrifices at the tabernacle and later the temple that people would eat together after giving a portion of the sacrifice to God. God's prophets spoke about eating and drinking in God's presence as well. The psalmist talks about how God will establish a banquet even in front of my enemies. The prophet Isaiah foretells God preparing a rich feast, a feast of rich foods on the mountain on the day of the Lord, a feast of marrow-rich meat and well-aged wine, while the Lord himself will swallow up death forever. In Jesus' ministry, he's regularly eating with people, sinners always, but usually the kinds of sinners that drew the ire of the Pharisees and the scribes. He has celebrated a Passover meal with his disciples. This is now the third time. After his resurrection, he will eat broiled fish to demonstrate that he is not a ghost, but has flesh and blood, risen from the dead. And in his resurrection, he will make breakfast on the seashore for his apostles. He is the fulfillment of all of these eating with God texts. And all of that eating in the presence of God theme is brought together here on Holy Thursday. Here is Jesus. But now there's no description of the ground under his feet being like sapphire for clearness. Instead, the incarnate Word of God, the eternal second person of the Trinity, who gave to his people commandments about eating, the very Word of God who was in the beginning, through whom all things were created, finished his plate, got up from the table, wrapped a towel around his waist, and got to work on the road grime in his disciples' feet. The very Lamb of God, who just finished his meal of lamb, observing the Passover, a lamb which was preaching of him, the true Lamb of God, the fulfillment of all of those Passover meals that preceded him. The reason they were to be kept as a memorial forever, because they preached his new covenant, which he makes in the context of this Passover meal. But first, he kneels and washes his disciples' feet, as he says, in love for them. This is the same day when the festival was celebrated and the Passover lamb was killed. That was the precursor to the Passover meal. And here, Jesus gathered together his disciples to observe the Passover, not from slavery, but now from death itself. This table, Jesus is clear, even this table is set in the presence of his enemies, as one, even one who would betray him, dips his bread in the dish with him. And then Jesus commanded this meal of his body and blood to be done often. That's why we return to the table, to the altar, not just once a year, but often. As often as we gather on Sundays, we eat and drink in the presence of God. But it isn't just that we eat in God's presence. God has given us his body and blood to eat and to drink. We eat his presence. Let that sink in. The first miracle is not that this bread is the body of Jesus and this wine is the blood of Jesus. The first miracle is that God has flesh and blood. Not like when he dined with Aaron and Moses, not like the sacrifice of the Levites. Jesus is God with skin and bones and blood and hair. God enfleshed in the midst of his people. But he doesn't want to do something highfalutin with his body and his blood. He wants to give it to you. The Catechism says, what is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. He wants you to eat it and to drink it often. His presence in this meal is for you to eat and to drink. There is no more intimate communion than this. And he calls you to return to his table to eat this body and blood, to be in nearer communion with him than Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu had at the top of Mount Sinai when they dined in the presence of God. Because here you not only dine in the presence of God, but you receive the very body and blood of God into your mouths. And where Jesus is, there is life and forgiveness and salvation. And that life, forgiveness, salvation is exactly what you need to carry out the commandment Jesus gives to his apostles. His command to love others as he is loving them, with a foot-washing, self-sacrificing kind of love, that command is also for you. And that is why we call this day Maundy Thursday. A new commandment in Latin is Novum Mandatum. A new mandate, Maundy Thursday. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. That love means no self-interest, no self-seeking, no concern for personal well-being. It's the very kind of love St. Paul described when he said, love is patient and kind, not seeking itself. So just pause for a moment and consider how well you do at carrying out this new commandment to love others as Jesus loves you. How well do you love like the Jesus with a towel wrapped around his waist, thinking only of the good of his disciples, not just in washing their feet, but in being betrayed later that evening and crucified the next morning? Do you love like that, with only the thought of the good of those entrusted to your care and your vocations? You have failed. You failed yesterday. You failed today before you got here. You failed while sitting in the pew, you'll fail on the drive home, and you'll fail tomorrow. God has called you to live like he matters most, And you fail at that too. When you look at it, you are enslaved to sin, unable to live without sin or even to imagine what living without sin would look like. Who could even imagine what it would entail to love sacrificially like that, with not even one selfish thought corrupting your motivation? The only sinless image you have is of the Lord Jesus himself. And he gives to you his sinless self to make you as he is, free from sin. This meal, the Lord's Supper, is what motivates and enables your love for others as Jesus has loved you. We pray, not tonight because the service cuts off abruptly, but usually after the reception of the Holy Communion, we pray thus: we give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. The sacrament of the altar is the new love feast, the agape meal. Those who commune together confess together. Confession is itself an act of love, both confessing our sins and also confessing the faith. And with that confession on our lips, we get to work, washing feet, doing whatever the work of love he gives us to do in the various callings to which he has brought us. And always, he brings you back to his table. Return to the table. Here is Jesus for you. Here is communion with God for you. The Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Here is eternal life, salvation, deliverance from slavery and death for you. The Passover lamb invites you to eat and drink in his presence, in the presence of God, and more than that, to consume his presence, to be filled with himself, to let him dwell not just around you, but in you. Here is life, forgiveness, salvation. Here is Jesus' selfless, sacrificial, perfect love for you. Here you participate in the very death and resurrection of Jesus because he makes it your death and resurrection too. In the fellowship of the altar, and in the fellowship of Jesus, receive the forgiveness of sins that was won for you on the cross of Christ. Return to the altar often. Jesus is here for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.